2018, what a year. Hey guys, it's Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast, and today's episode, I'm going to talk about what happened this year and how crazy it's been for us and what we have going into 2019 and what to look forward to coming from the E-Commerce Paradise team. So without further ado, let's just jump into it really quick. First and foremost, I wanted to talk about the top 10 most downloaded episodes of this podcast from 2018. And I was pretty surprised, but also it makes sense. The most downloaded episode of 2018 was a interview I did with one of my students, Nate. And Nate has been super successful with high-ticket dropshipping. He's a family guy. He was working a full-time sales job. And he decided to go ahead and get started with my program back in, I think, May or June, and within only, you know, 5 or 6 months, he was able to build a store, make a bunch of sales, quit his full-time job, and then actually sell his store to an investor for mid-five figures. So he's been super successful with it. He's also one of my clients for the turnkey business package now, and I'm building him out a new store business. So I'm really excited, and that was the top episode. And it's a really fun interview. You should listen to it. It's called it's episode number 135, selling recycled grease to raking in the dough with high ticket dropshipping. So congrats to Nate, and all you guys out there that are thinking about becoming successful with high ticket dropshipping. I think the number one thing that I got from that episode is Nate was just like 100% dedicated to making it actually become successful and making it work. He followed my advice from start to finish, basically by choosing a very sub niche market and just focusing on getting, you know, really good suppliers and getting those products up and getting, you know, the ads running and doing all the retargeting emails and doing all the conversion optimization stuff. Because as you fill in every little thing, it all will come together and it will actually work at that point. But you've got to get it all together. You can't just, you know, cut out a bunch of stuff and then hope it's going to work. It doesn't work that way. So Nate, congrats to you, man. And the next episode that was really popular was episode 137, how to know if a niche is profitable for high ticket dropshipping. I think this is the obviously number one thing that everybody is wondering. How can you determine profitability? You know, should I get into this niche or not? Is this product category worth making a separate store on, or should I just, you know, combine it into another store? Should I niche down? Should I niche up? All that stuff. So I discuss a lot of that stuff in there. The next one is episode 100, the top 10 prerequisites for starting a high-ticket dropshipping business. I wanted to make that episode because it was really important that everybody knows that, you know, you need to have certain things, you know, certain ducks in a row to start a high-ticket dropshipping business. Certain things like having a good credit score so you can have a high-limit credit card so you can purchase products from a supplier, you know, being prepared to start an actual business, and, you know, also, you know, being ready mindset wise with the right mindset, and you know, because this is like a real business. This is not just a way to make a quick buck online or, you know, make money fast. It's not going to happen fast. It takes a long time, you know, could take a few weeks to a few months, and it takes a lot of work and dedication and focus, you know, sitting in front of a laptop and figuring things out. So I wanted to make that episode. I think it's really important. It's a good one to listen to for any beginners. If you're a beginner thinking about getting started, check out episode 100. The next popular one was episode 92. 92 was about dropshipping on Amazon versus eBay versus Shopify. So, again, another thing that everybody wonders when they first get started, you know, what platform should I start with? A lot of people start with eBay. I did when I got started back in like 2004 or something like that, 2005. I started an eBay store. I wanted to sell my Pokemon cards when I had gotten out of high school because I no longer played Pokemon anymore, and I had this whole bunch of cards in boxes. And I also had Magic cards from before I started playing Pokemon cards. Magic came first for me in elementary school days, and then I held onto those, and then I had Pokemon cards throughout, you know, junior high and stuff, and then high school came and I started skateboarding and I just kind of lost interest. And then college came around, and when I got out of high school and I realized I need money, so I decided, how am I going to sell these cards and stuff like that? So I set up an eBay store and sold them in packages and things like that, and had a whole bunch of little things I sold from, you know, my high school years that I had left over. So from there, I learned how to sell things, make credit product listing, you know, find the price in the marketplace for it that was a good price, like the highest price I could ask, how to, you know, basically do some conversion optimization stuff, do some copywriting, really basic stuff, kind of figured it out on my own. But that's where I started. I also started an Amazon store when I was younger. When I was in college, I was buying textbooks, of course, every semester, and they're very expensive. Textbooks, you know, upwards of $100, $200, $300 sometimes. You know, I remember my accounting textbook was like $250, some crazy stuff like that. And the way the colleges structure their textbook sales, of course, is that they come out with a new edition, quote unquote, every single semester, which is silly because they literally changed like two things in the book, and it's the rest of it's the same. So I would always go on Amazon as soon as I heard what the book I was supposed to get was and try to buy the edition prior to that, which is always about half the price or less. And so at the beginning of the semester, you know, you get the book, whatever, and then come into the semester, you don't need it anymore, but you shouldn't sell the book at the end of the semester. What I would do is I would hang on to the books until the beginning of the next semester. And the very beginning of the next semester, right when classes started that week or whatever, I would list them on Amazon for as much as I could. And usually it was right around the price that I had bought it at. And so I would get my money back. But the cool thing is the money I was getting to pay for the books came from a college fund. So it wasn't my money. It was like an allowance from my parents that had a college fund set up. So I got really lucky in that respect, but basically I was able to take the college fund money that I had paid for the books and got it back, and I was then used, you know, it for like other things like skateboarding and stuff like that, paying for things I wanted to do. So, but that was another entrepreneurial venture. A lot of people took that a step farther and, you know, actually did, you know, scale that a bit more. I did a podcast interview with Connor Golovin of freeup.com, and you can find that on my YouTube channel and the podcast as well. I don't know what episode it is, but he actually had started an Amazon business reselling textbooks, and there were a lot of textbook reselling stores as well. So it's a pretty popular business model, but it's hard to sustain and hard to scale. So got out of that, but again, more experience. And eventually I wound up selling on WooCommerce with WordPress, became successful there, got tired of it because there's a lot of bugs and stuff like that. You got to deal with WordPress plugins and hosting and issues like that. So I moved on to Shopify, which is managed e-commerce, and I've been selling on Shopify ever since. And I also sell on eBay. I stopped selling on Amazon just because they have some crazy stuff with their A to Z guarantee claims, and they'll take advantage of their dealers. And honestly, I don't like doing business with a company like that in a way like that with drop shipping. Now, if I were, I sell books through their Kindle platform. I do affiliate marketing with Amazon. So I do plenty of business with them, just not with drop shipping through their marketplace. I don't think it's a really good idea. I think there's better marketplaces to do drop shipping through, like Houzz and eBay. And of course, on your own website, Shopify is the best, just because when there's customer issues, you know, they, Shopify, you can control your reviews, and Shopify, you have your own return policy. So, you know, you only have to answer to the credit card companies then if there's a chargeback. And yeah, so, you know, you still have to take care of your customer, but at least you won't get kicked off the platform. You know, like Amazon or eBay, like if they decide that a customer wants a refund, you know, they'll just give it to the customer. They won't even give you a second chance. And Amazon, they'll just kick you off, and, you know, it's just kind of messed up. So anyway, episode 92 is a really good episode to listen to if you want to learn more about that. Next one is episode 122. Every little thing matters. And I think I already kind of talked about this a little bit, but these are my top 10 conversion optimization trigger tips for e-commerce store owners. And yeah, so, you know, obviously conversion rate optimization is really important. There's actually a lot more. And I have a blog post on my blog now with over 30 conversion optimization triggers, just because there's so many little things that you can do to update your site. And, you know, every little thing matters, seriously. Episode 122, definitely check that out. And the last five are episode 117, my buddy Robert and his story about how he found freedom with high-ticket dropshipping. He moved to Chiang Mai and lived out there for a while, and then he moved back to the States and got into the startup scene, which is what he's doing right now, working with a blockchain company that develops gaming systems. So it's pretty interesting technology he's working with right now, but he lives on the East Coast. He doesn't live with his family anymore, lives with his girlfriend, so it's a pretty cool situation. Really, really cool guys. Episode 117, check that interview out. Episode 93, top 10 secrets of success with e-commerce. Again, a lot of mindset things there, and really important, you know, things that you should understand before getting into it. Episode 115, my buddy John and his high-ticket dropshipping success story. Before I met John, he wasn't really doing much. He was really struggling with his store. And when I had met him, he had signed up for a coaching session with me. And over 1 hour, I broke down all the things he needed to do in the store, made a huge list for him, And about 2 months later, he started doing $30,000 a month on average. And yeah, it was just an amazing transformation. I think his highest month since then has been like over 50. So it's pretty cool. And second to last is episode 148, how to sell $20,000 your first month with high ticket dropshipping. Kind of a case study in how we were able to do that with our newest store. It was our first biggest month that much. Like with stores in the past, usually we do around 5 or 10K the first month, but this new store, we did 18,482.10. So that was pretty cool. And we're really excited. It did happen to fall on the Black Friday sales month, November, which is our first month. So kind of took advantage of that. So whether it just was about good timing or it's just, you know, a matter of that, like we've learned all these different things and now we're applying new conversion optimization techniques to our store that are even more advanced than what we've done before. All these things kind of come together. And again, like everything, little thing matters. So if you really want to succeed, you've got to put everything together. You've got to make it all happen and consistently do the work. And last episode is one of my favorites, episode 114, Kevin's $100,000 per month high ticket dropshipping success story. Another friend of mine, Kevin, you know, just another self-starter guy, similar to Nate, where he just took the bull by the horns and really, you know, did the work, figured things out, watched every course he could, reached out to every mentor he could. He's a guy that, you know, isn't afraid to ask questions, which is awesome. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I love asking people questions and, you know, anything that helps me get ahead. And then, of course, take those things that I've learned and go and help other people and teach other people like you listening to this podcast right now. So watch that episode or listen to it, episode 114. That's a really great story. He did over $100,000 in 1 month. I think it was his maybe like about a year in to his business. He did that much. So pretty cool. All right, guys. So that was my top 10 episodes of 2018. You know, I did a lot more episodes this year than I did the prior year. And I'm really proud of that. It takes a lot of effort to do these episodes. You know, podcasting is one of those things that you have to kind of get out of your comfort zone to do, and you have to get used to failing a lot. You know, like, so what? You're going to probably screw up a word or two here and there, but you know what? It's worth it. And the people that listen, the people that care, the people that really gain from it, like you listening right now, you're the person that I want to talk to. I don't really care about the people that don't want to listen to me. It doesn't bother me. I don't think anything of it. Anybody that says anything, you know, bad about my podcast, that's fine too. That's their own opinion. They probably didn't listen to the whole thing and they are probably, you know, just seeking a, you know, a quick win or, you know, a quick rich or whatever riches, but that's not you. And you're willing to listen through the whole episode and you're really listening to me and to what I have to say, because the things that come out of my mind are super valuable. Cause I've been doing this for a long time. So it's exciting. I love making new content. I'll be making new content as often as possible in 2019, so I'm really excited to go there. Let's talk about some of our achievements in 2018. We have a lot of cool stuff that we did. First and foremost, I think was the most amazing thing that happened to us is we sold 3 high-ticket dropshipping stores for a total of $160,000 in 2018. So it was a big, big, big successful year for us in that respect. First store we sold is in January for $60,000. Then we sold 2 stores right around October and for $50,000 each. So yeah, and big, big, huge shout out to Ernest Epps. And he helped us sell those last 2 stores. And big shout out to Empire Flippers. They helped us sell that first store. So that was really cool. And yeah, so things have gone well there. We are kind of in the business of selling businesses now at this point. I'm doing turnkey packages for you know, business owners that have money to invest in a new store that don't have the time to spend doing it and know that I'm doing it the best that is done out there. So yeah, if you're interested in that and you're in the right position, you have the money to invest, I'm offering turnkey packages. Check that out at my website. Link is in the description. So next thing I did was actually created this whole masterclass. The High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass had been coming into inception throughout 2017 mostly, trying to write out the outline for it, create all the lesson plans and stuff like that. It wasn't until 2018 when I really decided to make some big sacrifices and just take action and do it, that it actually got created. And I was really proud of that. I also grew a lot and I figured out how to create sales pages and sales videos. Even though they're not the best, they're definitely a great start. And in 2019, my goal is to improve all of it. So improve the lessons in the masterclass, improve the templates, improve everything, all the sales videos, all the sales scripts. I've invested a lot into learning from mentors like Russell Brunson and Jim Edwards. And, I took a bunch of courses, one of them about email marketing called Autoresponder Madness. And I'm still going through a lot of these courses right now. I also invested in a course by Russell Brunson and a couple of his partners called Software Secrets. So my goal is to make some software in 2019 for high ticket dropshipping store owners, because a lot of the work is manually done. And you have to outsource it to human beings. And I figure if you can have a human being do something, you can probably have a computer system do it, software system, just, if this, then that pretty much. So, in concept, in theory, it would be pretty simple to get done. So now I just have to figure out how to do it. So that's exciting. And I did lots of sales with the masterclass. I was able to help over 100 people start high ticket dropshipping stores, which is a huge goal for mine in 2018. And I accomplished that and made well over $100,000 with that masterclass. So I'm really proud of that. It took a lot of work, I won't lie. I literally sacrificed like the better part of the year to do this. I sat in coffee shops and at home throughout the summer in Bangkok when it's raining all day long. I could have been traveling Europe in the summer. I could have been in the States. I could have been doing any number of things and having a lot of fun, but I decided to sacrifice instead. And I told my wife, I was like, you know what? Like we literally planned out over $2,000 or $3,000 worth of travel in Europe in the springtime. We were going to go out there. We used all of these free miles that we had from credit cards. And I just told her, like, we had a big discussion. I said, you know what, like, what I really want to do is get this done. And if I don't get it done now, I don't know when it's ever going to get done. And if I wait, then it'll just take that much longer until we're able to, get to this level in life that I want to get to. And she understood, and we made that sacrifice. We sacrificed those thousands of dollars and all those free rewards and went ahead and just got the work done. So I'm proud of that, and that's what it takes in life sometimes. If you want to get to the next level in life, if you want to level up, get out of that, like a rat race kind of feeling where you're always kind of living month to month, you've got to make sacrifices and get the work done. So it is what it is. I mean, in the short term, it hurts. It's painful for sure. And, you have this feeling like you're missing it out. You're missing out on, good times and opportunities. And yeah, sure. You'll definitely miss out. Like you could be traveling the world and having all these pictures taken, but also consider this is that, when you travel the world and you go out to these places and you take pictures, you realize like these places aren't going anywhere. And even if they do, there's going to be new places popping up all the time. So travel is always going to be available to you. And you have to make a distinction between what's most important in your life and what's something that's, you can go out and do anytime. And then maybe, get it, whatever's most important to you, get that done first. In my opinion, I think financial stability is one of the most important things in life. It helps you live a more relaxed lifestyle. You can take things slower and easier, and you're just not in such a stressed out, anxiety feeling, rush to get things done all the time, kind of a mindset. And sometimes that's important. For sure. Like you kind of got to put yourself there in order to get things done. But you can sort of simulate that. You don't have to actually make it a real thing. You can sort of put yourself in that mindset instead of having to actually be in that state in your life. So in my opinion, it's always better to make the sacrifice first, like sacrifice, the next year. In 2019, just make that year about getting yourself to that standpoint where you can quit your full-time job, you have your own business, you outsource it. And you even learn how to create a bit bigger and better business from there. And then if you just like have that mindset of, I'm going to sacrifice this entire year and I'm going to get to that point, then by that next year, all of a sudden you'll be telling yourself like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did that, because look at where I am now. Things will come together for you. When you start putting yourself in that mindset, all of a sudden, like magic happens. More things come together in life. It's crazy. It's this law of attraction thing that is real. And it happened for us. Like I can firmly say that if I wasn't creating this masterclass and networking and helping people, word would not have gotten around, and the things the people that came into my life to help us get to this level that we're at now definitely would not have happened. Or maybe it just would have been different or bad timing or whatever, and I just wouldn't have been in the mindset and in the right emotional mindset to get there, because like your emotions are what attracts good things in your life. And so you have to be there. You have to be motivated and attract the right motivated people into your life and be the right kind of person for them as well. And that's how you attract them. So, just understand that by doing one small thing today, you can change the trajectory of your life immensely within a year or so. So keep that in mind. I also got really far with affiliate marketing. In the past, affiliate marketing for me has been kind of a, you know, choppy seas kind of a journey. You know, I never really understood how to do it. In the last year, I put a lot of effort into figuring it out and doing it right. I wanted to make ecommerceparadise.com an authority site in the e-commerce world. And, you know, I didn't really know how to do that, but I took a course called Authority Hacker, and I read a blog called Niche Hacks, and those really helped me understand affiliate marketing and you know, different ways to do it. And then I realized what I wanted to do was not just build out product category specific affiliate sites based on the Amazon affiliate program. I think that's one of like the main things people do. And to me, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel authentic. I wanted to do something that was more authentic to me and my life. I wanted to do kind of a personal brand and an authority site. I think that's a lot better. And just the fact that I do podcasting all the time, monologue podcasting, because I love to help people. And I don't really, you know, care what format it's in. I just know that people will get value out of it, and that's most important to me. Okay, so what I did was I created an authority site, Ecommerce Paradise, but I decided on a specific sub-niche of high-ticket dropshipping. So yes, I will be building out beyond that eventually as I grow as a human being, as I grow as a business owner and do things outside of that. Eventually, I will teach how to do a membership site and online course. I will teach affiliate marketing, but I want to get really good at it myself first before I go out and teach it, obviously. To me, that's a big part of being authentic, is being real and not trying to teach something you barely just got started with, but teaching something you've been doing for a long time successfully over and over again, so that you know exactly why things are working. You're not just saying, oh yeah, I made, you know, $10,000 my first month and that's it, let me just teach you how to do it. You know, like, you're basically teaching one small thing you did and you got lucky at. You know, like, you've got to do it over and over and over again successfully so you can really like scientifically learn how it actually works properly. And so that's what I've done with high ticket dropshipping, all these sites that I've done over time. And so I feel like at this point, I'm a really well-versed, you know, business creator, business owner, business manager. And so I can go out and now teach it. And that's what I did. And so that's where I'm starting. And I've created a whole plethora of blog posts and a nice big resource there, a YouTube channel and stuff like that. So you guys can check that out. I'm sure most of you probably have, but there's quite a few things there. I'll be updating it over time as well, and I'm really excited about that. But I made quite a bit of money with affiliate marketing this year, and I'm proud of that because it's taken a long time for me to get to that point where I can confidently review some kind of a software service related to e-commerce, specifically high-ticket dropshipping, that I actually use and recommend, and teach people how to use it as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot more work that goes into that than you would think up front. And so, you know, I've done that and I'm continuing to do it. And my goal in 2019 is to finish what I started with affiliate marketing. I have a lot of resources. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com/resources, I list out all the software and tools and services I use to, you know, start and grow and scale e-commerce businesses, specifically with high ticket dropshipping. Not, you know, AliExpress dropshipping or other types, but high ticket. And so, you know, you can learn from there, but specifically my goal is to write reviews and make videos and tutorials on all those different resources and tools. And then, of course, like I was saying, in 2019, to grow beyond that, actually create my own tools and resources with software. So excited to get there as well. But yeah, my sales with affiliate marketing was over $20,000 last year, so that was pretty cool. Starting to build a big broad store. So the next section I want to talk about is this case study store we're doing. We've been always thinking about building a big broad store, but we've had most success with niche sites up until this point. So our goal with this big broad store that we're doing now in the home niche is to actually kind of have like a giant experiment. We're still going to be doing niche sites, but each store is like its own separate business. So what we wanted to do was to build out a big broad store, kind of like Houzz or Wayfair or something like that, and experiment with all these different niches and get suppliers and stuff like that and grow from there. So it's kind of a big experiment. This is the one we did $20,000 our first month with, you know, in November. So obviously it's pretty successful and it's working. I really want to grow this one past 100,000 a month and maybe even past 200 or 300,000 a month. It's going to take a lot of work to get there, obviously, a lot of team building efforts, a lot of outsourcing, and it's going to be a slow process and it's probably going to be costly. Just like Amazon was in the very beginning. You know, Amazon's a big store and it takes a lot more money to build a big store than it does, you know, and obviously the startup costs are quite a bit higher, the advertising costs are quite a bit higher. So everything is going to be a little bit more costly with this one. So the margins are probably going to be lower in the beginning. And the same thing was true for Amazon, you know, but look at the behemoth they grew into. So, you know, if you have a big long-term mindset in the mindset to get you way, way farther, then you can do it. But you have to get rid of that short-term scarcity mindset. You know, and the same thing goes with any kind of investing as well. Like if you're going to invest in a blue chip stock and all of a sudden it tanks first month after you buy it, don't just sell it. You know, like that's the worst thing you can do. Actually, the best thing you can do is buy more of it so that when it goes back up in a few months, then the profits you'll make from it going back up will actually be better, you know, and give you a net return. So think about that the same way with the e-commerce store. High ticket dropshipping specifically is like, yeah, your ad costs might be really high first few months and your profits are low just because you know, you're just starting out, you don't have all the content on your site yet, maybe not everything is optimized, you're just getting new suppliers on board. But after 3-6 months, when everything is optimized, when you got some kind of cred in the marketplace, you know, like a social media platforms that have a lot of viewers and likes and stuff like that, followers, and you know, history of reviews, all that stuff, you'll start seeing a big increase in your conversion rate, profit margins, obviously. So keep that in mind, guys. But yeah, that's what we're doing, is building a big, broad store. We're going to be building a mirror site of that store as well. Mirror sites are a really great idea. If you have a niche store, build a mirror site of it with a different branding. Maybe niche up or niche down a little bit, whatever. But the coolest thing about that is that when you do go to sell your sites, then you can sell a package of sites for 2 or 3 times as much money as you would before. So kind of a cool thing. That's what we're doing. All right, the next section is going to be about like our lifestyle. So 2018 was a really cool year for our lifestyle. Like I said, I sacrificed a lot. We didn't go to Europe, but I spent most of the year in Bangkok, Thailand. So life was very fun, easygoing, and not very expensive. Bangkok is a big, big metropolitan city that still costs about half or less than what it would cost to live in LA. And you get all the modern luxuries and way more than you would ever get in a big city like LA. And it's way safer and way more calm, relaxed lifestyle. So yeah, I love Bangkok. Thailand in general is cool. Chiang Mai is awesome. There's other great places as well, but Bangkok is one of my favorite cities. This year we actually got a lease on an apartment. So we found an apartment we liked early summer. I think we got back from Bali in end of May, early June. Found an apartment we liked on Airbnb. We got a lease there. It was 6 months. 3 months into it though, it started having some issues and we decided to cut out, let them take our deposit, which was around $1,000 or so, because it was a $500 a month US rent. And that was fine. You know, we were okay with it. We had just sold a couple dropship stores at that point. We had some money in the bank. I wanted to get a really nice high-end luxury apartment. The one we got was pretty nice, but not as nice as the one we found. We found one sweeter, near more central in the city, and a 42-story high-rise with a rooftop pool and rooftop co-working space. And down the street from my skate park that I really like to go to, and restaurants and massage parlors, and it's just really, really nice location. So I'm very happy with it, and it's about $1,000 a month. So, but yeah, we're literally living in like the lap of luxury in Bangkok now, so which is just amazing. We got a year lease on this place. We just decided that that's our home base now, and we're going to travel around Asia, you know, and maybe make a trip back to the States in the summer. And that's it. Keep growing the businesses from Bangkok, Thailand. We did a lot of trips to Bali. Bali is kind of like my second home out here. I like Bali. Bali is crazy and fun. It's perfect for a vacation. I don't really ride motorbikes in Thailand. I just walk and take the BTS SkyTrain. When I travel, I like to walk a lot. But when I go to Bali, I love riding motorbikes. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's a fun, exciting thrill ride riding a motorbike down the roads of Bali. And this last time I went, I was just going crazy with it. Not afraid at all. I used to be kind of sketched out by the big roads. Now I'm not sketched out at all. I know how it is. It's kind of like a flow, you know, and you're like a big fish in a river and you just go fast and have fun and be safe, you know. People are generally nice and they'll let you in, you know, and they'll watch out for you. So you got to be safe, wear a helmet at all times, of course, and, you know, watch your back, get your motorcycle license before you got to Southeast Asia. Honestly, there's a lot of things you need to watch out for here that, you know, don't happen in the States. Like in Bali, for instance, there's really not a whole lot of traffic lights. There's only traffic lights at the big intersections. And so all the small intersections, there's no traffic lights and there's no stop signs and nobody stops. Everybody's just literally slowly flowing through. So it's an interesting experience, a lot of fun. You got to get used to it, but Bali is a lot of fun, really cool place, and absolutely beautiful and stunning scenery and great food. So we go there every 2 to 3 months. It's just like the perfect vacation spot, and I can highly recommend it. Got some amazing tattoos this year, and before that, I'd never really gotten tattoos before. Just this year, all of a sudden, I had, you know, I always had the kind of fear of getting a tattoo, and then I decided finally I wanted to get one tattoo, and I got it on the chest. It's a Sakyant tattoo, which is a traditional Thai style bamboo poke method tattoo, and I got two tigers on my chest along with a lot of ancient Khmer writing, which is just basically a lot of prayers protecting me. And it's a Thai thing, and I really, really love the culture out here. Buddhism is kind of what I'm all about, so yeah, it felt right, and it looks good, and it feels good, and everybody compliments me on it, and they're impressed that was my first tattoo, because Sakyants hurt a lot to get, especially right on your chest, in a very sensitive place. So yeah, go big or go home, that's my motto. And I got a nice big quarter leg sleeve in Bali, which I'm going to finish up in a couple of months here. It's an ancient traditional tattoo combo called Barong in Rangda, and they are two old style, going back into the animist days, which basically is when they used to worship animals. And it's just kind of the protectors of the island, a protector versus the evildoer, a yin and yang kind of a thing, ancient Indonesian style. So that was really cool. And then this year I'm finishing up with a koi lotus dragon full arm sleeve in Bangkok, which is pretty cool. They've already done the koi, one of the lotus flowers, and part of the dragon. I'm going to be getting the finishing touches up in January. So my first full sleeve, and it's coming out really good, and I'm excited about it. And I absolutely love it. It's fun having art on my body, and I do plan to get a lot more tattoos over time. A lot of pain, and it's kind of like a rite of passage, and it feels amazing, and I love body art, and I just love having body art. And people always compliment me on it. It's just a really cool conversation starter, and it's neat. You know, it's something fun to look at. It's interesting, so I love it. So invested in a lot of online courses. I continue to learn. Learning is a really big thing for me, and I think it should be for you as well. Learning is what will drive you forward in life, drive your career forward, and drive your personal life forward and everything. Learn about business, learn about marketing and sales, but also learn about the world, learn about geography, learn about countries and cultures, and learn languages. That's key as well, because the more languages you learn, the more fun you'll have when you travel internationally. If you learn Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, Thai, Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese, Indonesian, all these languages are cool, because you go and speak with the locals a little bit here and there, they're impressed, and you know, they're more friendly, and they're probably going to give you better prices on stuff too. And you'll get to meet more people that way as well, make more friends. So I'm looking to learn Thai, and this kind of leads me into my 2019 resolutions. So the last half of this podcast is going to be about resolutions. And so my resolutions for the New Year's are to learn Thai. First and foremost, I want to be able to have a conversation with somebody. So in January, when I get back from my New Year's, relaxing and partying, I'll be back in go mode and work mode. So I'll be taking a Thai course with my wife, and I think we're going to go together and, you know, learn Thai. It's going to be really fun. So that's one of my goals. I want to help another 100 more people become successful with high ticket dropshipping. So that's my goal in 2019. And to achieve that goal, I realized that I need to get way better at marketing and selling what I have, because I've created this amazing resource, but I know that a lot of people out there, number one, they're not sure which mentors are the best, because there's a ton of bad mentors online now that just kind of sell crappy stuff. And I've created one, you know, the best out there. So I need to get better at selling it. And so I'm going to be creating a webinar. I think a webinar is a really great way to open people's minds to what I have to sell, just by basically telling them all the free information that I have to give away as well, which is super valuable anyways. Could basically charge money for that, but I give it away. And taking it from there and actually convincing you to take action on it, because I think that's the key in life, is just to like change mindset, change beliefs. It wasn't until I had my big epiphany moments that I actually changed my mindset and beliefs. Number one, as to what's possible. Number two, that I can actually achieve it if I just put my mind to it, and it is a reality. I can make it a reality of my own. So that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I did. And that's my goal, is to help more people do that. I also want to make $1 million in sales this year with high ticket dropshipping in our one new store. In the past, we've made on average around $500,000 to $650,000 per year. That's about our average what we do. And, you know, it usually comes because niches can be seasonal and competition and suppliers. And honestly, doing e-commerce paradise has kind of opened me up to a lot more competition because people eventually, you know, they might find out my niche and they might decide, you know, I'm just going to start a store in his niche. And they might be decent marketers. And so, you know, they're pretty good at it and whatever. So it is what it is. I have to deal with competition all the time because of what I'm doing. And that's okay with me. I can deal with that because, you know, honestly, when people jump into niches that I'm in, it's kind of cool. I can actually see what they're doing. And if there's anything they're doing that I'm not doing, then I take that and I kind of run with it. It helps me improve my own store. So watch out, guys. If you try to compete with me, I might just take what you're doing and do it in my own store. So it's a double-edged sword trying to get into someone's niche and copy them. But then, so we visited 6 new countries. That was one of my... I want to visit 6 new countries in 2019. I'm on New Year's resolutions now. So yeah, anyway, so I don't know how many new countries you want to visit, but if you are interested, check out Southeast Asia. I can highly recommend it out here. There's lots of countries we haven't even visited yet, and we've been out here for a long time. So I will be visiting Vietnam early this year. That's going to be fun. I also want to visit Japan in the spring, Korea as well, and China. Haven't been to Hong Kong yet. Taiwan, Laos, Myanmar. Haven't been to India, but I have been to Malaysia, Indonesia plenty of times. I want to go to Jakarta. That's a goal. And Australia, New Zealand. I want to go check it out. And go check out, you know, like Fiji and stuff like that, Maldives. There's a lot of stuff to do, but got to kind of find that balance between travel and business building. So it's kind of difficult, but it's worth it. My biggest goal, I think, financially, obviously, is to double what we have right now. So actually amass a couple $100,000 in our checking account. So we'll see how that goes. Excited about that. And then with all that money, we want to have a baby and start a family of our own out here in Thailand. And also buy investment property in Thailand. One of the coolest things about Thailand is that you can have property and not pay property tax. So that's kind of neat. So if you're thinking about investment property, Thailand is booming like crazy. Southeast Asia in general is booming. There's a lot of tourism out here. There's also a lot of business investors because there's a lot of e-commerce going on now. And so with e-commerce and, you know, developing countries, there's obviously a lot of opportunities. So if you're thinking about it, you know, people that are, you know, consider Southeast Asia for your investments. It's a great, great area, great corner of the world to go into. Things are still relatively cheap out here as far as property goes. So that's one of my goals. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this podcast. I know it was a long one, but 2018 was an awesome year for us. And 2019 is going to be even more amazing. So I'm excited about that. Stay safe this New Year's, folks, and make sure to limit your drinking. That's one of the best thing I can suggest. I mean, you know, obviously you should drink and have some fun. But just, you know, be careful with that. Your health is really important, and drinking can be detrimental to your health. So drink lots of water. My recommendation is every beer you have, drink one glass of water. Every glass of wine, one glass of water. Every shot you have, drink one glass of water. Also, if you're going to be out and about, don't drink and drive. Find a designated driver. But if you have to, or you find yourself deciding to for some stupid reason, please hold yourself to this standard, which is every beer you have, wait 1 hour. Every shot you have, wait 1 hour. It's just a really good thing to go by. So, you know, if you're out drinking, you got like 3 beers in your system, you took a couple shots, that's 5 hours. So if it's midnight and you're at that level, you know, don't drive until 5 a.m, okay? It's just not safe. So, you know, it's for your safety, but it's also for the safety of other people on the roads. There's a lot of people that work, you know, and they're not drinking and they're just driving to work or back home and they got families. So, you know, it's really sad every year. I read stories about people that got killed in drunk driving accidents and they weren't even drunk. They were just driving to work or driving home from work and they, you know, live meager lives and, you know, help their family. So just consider that and, you know, take a taxi or an Uber. Even if you drove somewhere, just make sure your car won't get like towed in the morning. Just take an Uber home, go get it the next day. It's just a way safer way to live life. And, you know, the short term, things that you'll do now to feel good that aren't good for you in the long term can have a big detrimental effect on your life. And you want to be able to wake up tomorrow and feel good about what you did, you know, and live a life. And part of the way you build this kind of a lifestyle is by making good decisions, responsible decisions. So just in the very first place, just limit your drinking, and don't get past your point. Know your limit. And, you know, obviously, everything else will kind of be easier to deal with from there. And yeah, make healthy eating decisions too. Here's some life coaching tips for you guys, but make healthy eating decisions. Don't eat a bunch of crap. You know, like, even if you are going to eat a little bit of crap sometimes, don't eat too much of it. I think that's important. But anyways, guys, I'll limit it there, and I hope you guys have a safe New Year's, and talk to you in the next episode. Take care.